Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Greg Reagan. See what I did there? I just replaced Peter Yu.
Oh, no.
Said Shintaro Higashi Show with Greg Reagan. Yeah, Peter Yu's on a hiatus. He'll be back soon, though. Thank you to our sponsors, first and foremost, Jason and Levon. You guys are the best. And, you know, we're working on some other sponsors, too. So if you guys want us to give you guys a shout out or even promote your product or whatever that you do, reach out to us, right? Judo Shintaro NYC on Instagram. Right, or GReagan1 on Instagram. Is that right?
Yep, always there in the notes, getting tagged. So you can find either one of us. It's good to reach out.
Yeah, find us, reach out, and then, you know, you could sponsor us, and it'll greatly help the show. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about judo games.
Mm-hmm.
Games to improve your skill set in judo.
So you've been working on some of these games. We played some of these games.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What are your marquee games?
Let's just say a very, very specific game with very low consequences. Okay, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a riddle. You guys could play along too. When you're fighting right side versus left side, right? If you're righty and you're fighting a lefty, right? Who gets to decide inside or outside position?
Person who gets their hand on first.
Yes, person who gets that collar grip first. Because if I grab it and then you go inside, you block it and then they have to filter to the outside, correct?
Correct.
Because you can filter them in to where you want your hand. So putting that hand on first is a skill that you need to develop, correct?
Yes.
And what kind of game do you think we should play for that?
Kind of like a, I want to say a movement, like tagging kind of game.
Yes, just touching that collar, right side versus left side. With the hand that you intend on grabbing it with, right? So if I'm righty, I'm lead leg right, my right hand's forward, and I'm going to try to put my right hand on your collar. If you're lefty, you're standing left leg forward, and your left hand's forward, and you're trying to put your left hand on my collar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sort of reduce the speed, right? You're going to say, hey, don't go crazy, because now you're just like jamming, and essentially you're just fencing in a very unskilled way. Two unskilled guys fencing, that's never going to go anywhere, right?
With fingers so near the eyes.
Some tools.
Yeah.
Fingers near the eye, you're going to scratch, you're going to jam your fingers. So it's like, not even first to three. It's like you're just going to exchange, right? And you're going to try to use some of these tools that I'm about to give you, right? He's coming, I take a step back, and then I punch in, like a pull counter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In boxing, right?
Right?
Person comes to grab that collar, you parry it with your hand, you block it, and then you go over and touch that collar, right? So then you could parry it with the opposite hand, touch the hand, you could feint, shoot their hand by to parry it, then you punch their hand in, right? So this is an example of a game that you could potentially play.
Right. I guess one of the main ideas is like you can't, if you have one method of attack, it's going to get shut down eventually.
Yes.
So you have to have all of these other methods to go in. So you have to train that sensory-wise to really ingrain it. What other games... Well, is this mostly grip fighting games or...
No, in general. There's a bunch. What do you think is a good game to play for skill acquisition?
A little bit more on a... It's a little bit of a rougher game, but like that judo sumo that we would play every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a good one.
If it could be escalated down, because it tends to go into... a high tier, kind of like high octane like fight. But you know, in judo, a lot of other martial arts in the striking world, you know, the punch, the force ends at the opponent, but in judo it starts at the opponent. So it's the ability to like get your body weight behind your hands so that that pushing and pulling sensory adaptation is like so critical. And then doing it with a gi is big. So that like playing that game, commanding the center, it all plays well into like the fundamentals of judo.
Yeah. And then you know you could do modified randori, right? Just forcing penalties. No one throws, no one takes anybody down, forcing penalties, right? And just playing that game. And that's a crucial element of the game when you're doing strategic competitive judo. Right? Because if you're up by two penalties, if the other guy has two penalties, now it's the onus is on them to hustle and score, right? So that person's going to get a little bit sloppier, you know? And then you could play a sort of a calculated game where you're just chipping away at the clock or something like this. So you could play this game relatively safely and develop soft skills in judo, which is actually not like the main skill of throwing somebody, right? But working the clock, forcing penalties, all these stuff with reduced risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So putting your hand on first, right? If it's right side versus right side, touching that sleeve collar with your left hand, right? Mm-hmm. While your right hand is protecting the collar because, you know, right versus right.
Right.
Okay? So like touching first. You can even just do grip fighting by itself as a game, you know? And then letting the person work out, et cetera, et cetera. And then trying to force shidos and then creating movement, right? And like you just said, judo sumo. So when these things combine together, you're developing all the other skills that are taking throwing out of the picture.
Right.
And I think those are crucial, you know, being able to do that, right?
The Russian, something you described, like the Russian little kid over-under game, where you grab the belt and then they hook the arm. Like, yeah. Every time I show that to any of the beginners classes, if they do that for 15 minutes, they're infinitely better. Like the footwork and everything is just greatly improved. And it gets them familiar with standing up, having a person in close proximity, and how easy it is to enter.
You know why that's so good? It's because the risks are low. You know what I mean? Remember when you're like in school, in grade school, and like you have to read or like answer a question, and if all the other kids are like just laughing at you or mocking you if you got the wrong, or if you're stuttering, oh, this kid can't read, whatever it is, like you're much less likely to like ask a question. Oh, that question's so dumb. But if it's a good teacher with a good leader in the room, they'll create a safe environment for you to ask questions, no dumb questions. Anyone ask, everyone contribute. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, that's an interesting observation. Now, all of a sudden, you kind of take risk and start trying to interact with the content more, correct? And I think it's the same thing in the dojo when you're trying to learn judo. The consequences are very, very small. As opposed to, like, when you're doing Randori, you go over under, you make a mistake, you get freaking slammed.
Yeah, that's not the you time. I mean? That's only the time to learn that you did it wrong. But it's not the time to learn what to do. You know, like, you need to have
you
it
learn
going.
Fear from that. The over under, let's say, like, you know what, I'm going to go for a kasoto. Mm-hmm. And then I jump onto the hip without actually controlling that topside shoulder, and you lift me up and slam me on my shoulder, dude. It could be game. I'm never gonna do it again, right?
As opposed to
play fighting, I hook a soda, you lift me up, I'm like, oh, I could have gotten slammed. Maybe I should have done it a little bit differently. Let's figure out how. And you're going 30%, and you know you're not gonna get bombed. So now you're climbing on the hip and pinching that other shoulder down, so they can't lift you. So you're sagging your weight over that hip, right? So that's how you learn. You know?
Yeah.
So all good point on that Russian play fighting thing.
Yeah. You know? Just anything, moving uchikomi wise, just generating movement. Yeah. You know, especially people coming in who aren't the most athletic, getting their movements in different directions, planting on one foot, moving to another foot. Anything that facilitates that is monumental.
Yeah. And we did one yesterday too, the Ouchi position with the inside leg. Trying to finish from there, driving Ouchi to the backside 45 or the front side 45, switching to the Uchimata. And that could be a little bit more like, all right, the goal is to finish, you know, but the person standing is going to get finished. You're going to let the guy throw you, right? Mm-hmm. But give him a little bit of resistance so that he gets an actual feel. And then you predetermine who's going to win. The guy who has the inside leg hooked is going to win, because it's not fun if you're doing the drill with you and then the yellow belt can never throw you, because you could probably outstep that leg or like put weight on that leg or counter him or step over it with a sticky, you know, like a step over Uchimata. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to be fun.
No.
But it's already predetermined that the guy who's doing the drill is going to win, and you're going to let him, but you're going to just give him a couple of good looks. So it's a cooperative game. Right? That's a good game.
Out of the room. You know, feel free to answer this or don't. But like, how many people do you think is showing that on the first time could understand that game with the hand position and the cutbacks?
Man, very rare. The first time ever doing it?
Yeah, like on a single
almost
shot.
Nobody, because it requires so much coordination, balance, core strength, hands doing something, understanding weight transfer, pushing it onto the other person, using them as a. It's just too difficult. There's nothing like it out there. You know, if you're like sprint this way, cut a 45 slant and then jump up in there and try to grab a ball, that's kind of intuitive, man. You've been doing this kind of stuff, you know, running a route in football or something. Like, you're used to running, you're used to jumping, you're used to playing with balls. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? You play soccer, baseball, basketball, right? But this kind of stuff is so unintuitive. And you're also not getting, like I said this before, the best athletes in martial arts and grappling. You're just not. The best athletes in your high school right now, if you take a look around, they're playing basketball, they're playing football, they're playing baseball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But it's very rare, funny, like what you mentioned though, like the yellow belt going with a black belt or something and like being frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, for me, especially with that drill, the Uchimata drill, it took me going with Gianni, who figured it out, to feel that it was even possible to make these shapes. Because I was like, there's no way I'm cutting my foot back and turning it into an Uchimata. And then I felt my head kind of like get wrecked downward. And I was like, oh, this actually is possible. I have to work. I'm just that far from it.
Yeah. His cutback Ochi is so good.
Oh, it's insane.
100% better than mine. I wish mine was a little bit better. I got to drill it, actually, and train it. You know? I'm not really doing the drill. You guys spend a lot more time doing these drills. And we didn't really do these drills when I was younger.
Hmm. Did you find a way to make it yourself, or it was just never explicitly shown to you, this kind of thing?
I mean, some of the technical stuff, you get bits and pieces of it, but you have to kind of like make your own training program, right? So it's like, I used to do this thing, it was like Fridays, you know, back in the day, like noon to 2 p.m. It was like a private training between me and like five of the black belts. And then we would come up with these drills and do them. Because we thought that was the right thing to do. You know, we had a couple of times a week we would do something like this, you know?
Yeah.
My boy Vinny would come, Terrazzo would come, a couple other black belts, Anthony Vanetti would come, and it would just be like five, six high black belts, and we'd just drill and do stuff, and we'll pick like three or four drills that we thought would give us the best ROI, and then we would just do Randori after that, you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. And then, you know, you get like you meet like a champ, and they'll teach you some of these drills, and you kind of have to do it on your own. A lot of these structured classes that we've been to, they would never do it, you know?
Right.
Because it's too difficult or time constraint or whatever it is. So.
But they're fantastic. And I think like it's even like the over-under Russian little kid thing and this thing. Yeah. I watched our whole dojo elevate in skill level when it comes to being in that position just from like a few, like a week and then a little bit more of doing that. And like my core has gotten stronger from it.
Yeah.
The whole sport, like it's, you know, like Uchimata, anything inside tripping is so fundamental to judo that the better you get at that, you're just going to get better at the sport as a whole.
Yeah.
So
and you develop these sensitivities. You know, Nick asked a question. Of course, Nick asked a lot of questions. But when you're switching directions, when do you switch to the other 45er direction? Mm-hmm. And it's when you're driving and they're hopping, you want to time it. Very difficult, almost impossible to do, right? But time it as they're hopping to get their rebase underneath their center of gravity. That's when you switch because now there's a split second where they have no contact with the ground.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like feeling that nuance, you know what I mean? And doing it and threading that needle, that's something you could only get like by just doing it and being in that time, being in that position. You know what I mean? This is one for you. Ochi Uchimata, hopping, switching that Kochi as the foot hits the ground. Like right, like half a second before. That's also feeling where the person's bouncing up and down, anticipating where that foot is going to be, right? So you do a very good job with that. You could probably teach it like verbally and people can understand it conceptually, but until they try this position many, many hours, you're not going to be able to do it. You know what I mean? So, these games are really important, I think.
Oh, they're fantastic. And then breaking it up into that, like, beginner, intermediate, advanced kind of games keeps that interest, you know?
Because doing Nagakomi is not going to help you build any of the skill.
No. It's such a brief moment in time. It's like such a...
Yes.
Not that it's not... It's very needed. Everything's needed. But, like, the like you said, ROI. Like I'd rather hop around on one leg in this for half an hour, and like let's see where it goes. Do you have any other games? Yes. Any other things in the works?
Just like grip fighting games and things like that. You know, if you're a Georgian player, getting Georgian, you know, that's a good game. Or starting in Georgian A, starting in Georgian B with the leg threaded, like Osoto threaded to the outside. Those are also great games, you know, things like this. How about this one? Right versus right, you're starting in 50-50, and then you have to fake snap and circle and then try to cut a hand or, you know, collar or sleeve. You have to cut it. So you get two hands versus one hand, you know, forcing that. That's a great game, too. I love that game, you know?
Yeah.
And inadvertently, some people are going to start trying to slam each other and they have to be like, dude, no throws about. You hear me say this all the time, right? We got to stick to the rules of the game. You know, it's so dangerous if not.
It happens with the little kids sometimes because they're getting better, and then like they'll cut a hand and then take someone down pretty aggressively, and I'm like, that's amazing. No, don't do that again.
Please don't do that right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So like dangerous. That was exactly what I told you to do. Never do that.
So where can the people buy this video, the Judo Games video, to improve their skill?
We're gonna have it on Shopify. We're gonna put it out on YouTube if you want to pay for the subscription, and the ShintaroHigashi.com.
Yeah,
so it's there for you to download
all the different areas. Yeah, and we're gonna show like all the different games and stuff like that. We haven't filmed it yet. We're gonna film it tomorrow. You know, so by the time this episode comes out, you're gonna be able to purchase this, and it's gonna be one of those super concise instructional videos that you can, you know, X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah, so they've been going. They've been doing exciting. Well, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, so that's that. You know, if you guys have any ideas for games, let me know. You know, and you know. Some games are great, some games are not. I've heard this one. You heard this one before? Mm. You open the crash mat, and you put 10 kids on it, and they all have to push each other off the crash mat.
Sounds good.
Very dangerous.
Sounds good once.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
But it trains them to be tough, you know, if that's what you care about, and that's the kids need, maybe. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't recommend that game.
I would. No.
It's just too dangerous.
You know? What about this? What about this game?
Yeah.
You get a ball, and one kid goes into turtle and holds the ball, and it's the other kid's job to try to remove the ball. So it'll be like getting the lapels underneath, separating the hands, getting the neck kind of stuff. Would that work or no?
I'm sure it would. I mean, it'll definitely develop like a tight turtle or protecting the ball, and it's, you know, puts like an element that's somewhat familiar, right? Playing with a ball, you know?
Right.
It could potentially work. It could help. But I think there's, you know, other games that could be potentially more useful.
Yeah, true. I mean?
Kids Nawaza is so flawed.
Yeah.
Wait. Because all the turnovers you do, without the context of chokes and arm bars, it's kind of useless. It's really difficult. You know, it's almost better if you could just learn a half Nelson and just crank it and force him over. You know, but like the grab double elbow and pull, that stuff is useless. You know, there's just so much useless. Because with the introduction of chokes and arm bars, it just makes it so difficult to actually...
The three things to manage, you know? Nothing is safe all the time.
Yes.
So, but then when you can't get choked and your arm can't get stretched, you're just like, all right, don't flip me.
Yeah, you could literally just like go like this and you grab your collar like this tight as possible and just, you know, wiggle side to side and protect yourself, you know? But yeah, they got to rethink Nawaza for kids. They really do, because it's a huge issue, I think. I mean, no one really cares. You're trying to solve a problem that's not really there. But I mean, maybe there is a problem, you know?
It would be fun. Have you seen a kid's BJJ class? Have they been able to figure that out?
Yeah, they choke and armbar and crank it and stuff, and they're going for it, you know?
Really?
They're allowed to go for the stuff, yeah.
Whoa. They understand conceptually tapping and like...
I think they get it. I think they get it. And I'm sure the referees are a little bit more quick to stop when there's an extended arm. They don't let kids fight out of it, I think. I'm not sure. But they're going for submissions, these kids, you know? And I think a lot of this stuff, the age-old stuff of like, hey, doing submission on a kid is very, very wrong and it messes up your joints forever. I don't know how true that is, you know? Because there's no studies backing this stuff. These are all just like martial arts hearsay. You know what I mean? And actually, if you look at kids' joints, they're much more flexible. So, you know, the arm gets extended into straight, like, 180-degree position. The referee's like, stop! Right? You know, what's the likelihood of the kid, like, getting severely injured from that? I don't really know. You know, you know, but you don't really want to mess around with that kind of stuff. You don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, arm bars for 10-year-olds.
Arm bars for kids. Chokes for kids. Yeah.
You don't want that.
No.
But yeah, the jiu-jitsu, you know, definitely does all that stuff, I think. I'm sure, maybe if you're like, there's got to be some age thing.
Judo kids. I've seen clips online. You know, these kids are throwing people Osoda, like other kids.
Yeah.
Real. You go to these kids' tournaments like we talked about, and it's real. You know, it is
real. It's funny. You could slam somebody with a suplex, you know, a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, choke arm bar them. Like, it makes no sense. You know, I've seen more kids break their arms by putting their arm down, not taking break falls, than any arm bar. You know, I've ever, right? So, yeah. I don't really know what the solution is.
But, so that's not the game. They won't be in the games. We're not doing arm bar games for kids.
No choking not games for kids. Maybe we'll do some Nawaza stuff too, like knee cut games and stuff like that, starting in certain positions and having goals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That could work for, adult games. Like that. Yeah. That's been very fruitful for me anyway. Staying in the knee cut, working all the framing positions and doing stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, right versus left, hip to hip position when you have over under on one side. And then controlling that shoulder, whether it's a shrug or pressing down if you're on the outside. Like, that's a game, right? Because there's objective. How to control that close side shoulder, you know? And then how to gain inside position with your hips and your legs so you could enter into turn throw some there. You know, things like this, right? And then if you have good shoulder position underneath their armpit and you have inside leg position, then they can't go Taniyatoshi because you control the space underneath their armpit. They can't drop. Right. You know, so like these games like this without the risk of someone blowing your knee out because they're, diving at your legs. So these are games that could be very helpful, I think. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they'll be out. We'll film it.
Yep. YouTube memberships, Shopify, shintohigashi.com. Go check it out. We'll link it down below also. Right? So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you all.